turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Genesis, chapter number 12. We've been talking about Faithful February. Let me remind you about a couple of other things I forgot in our announcements. Sunday school teachers, we have to order Sunday school material for the spring quarter. Doesn't that sound good? Amen. Spring quarter. I saw yesterday, I was out on visitation, and daffodils were up along this one apartment building I was at. They're up this tall on the south side of the building. I thought, praise the Lord, that's a sign of spring. And I'm just hoping that maybe we'll have a dose of what we had last year. The first part of March, it was almost 80 degrees. And I'm looking forward to the warmer weather. Some of you like the colder weather. That's okay. I hope that it all goes towards your house. I'd like to have the warmer weather. You say, well, preacher, don't you know we're in the middle of this global warming? I can't wait. All right, I want a palm tree in my backyard, and so that'd be great. But Genesis chapter number 12, I want you to look there. So don't forget Sunday school teachers meeting tonight right after the service. Then also, those of you that are interested, young people, in going to a youth conference at First Baptist Church in Bridgeport, Michigan on March 9th, we've got, that's Brother R.B. Olette's church, cost is $15. You need to make sure that you let Brother Joe know by the 27th of February, correct? Have to have the money in. And guest speakers, Brother Kurt Skelly, correct? Great speaker. And that is going to be on the 9th of March. It's going to be a great time. If we get enough, we'll take the big bus up. If not, we'll take the van. And so that'll be a great time for that. So if you'd remember that, that would be good. All right, Genesis chapter number 12. We've been talking about Faithful February and how we ought to be faithful. Amen. We ought to be faithful to God. There is an individual, certainly, that was not sinless by no means, nor was he a perfect man. But one of the things that marked this man's life was that of faithfulness. God has called Christians to be faithful. I believe, fellas, listen, you ought to be faithful to your spouse. Amen? I believe you ought to be faithful to your family. If you've got a job, you ought to be faithful at your job. You know, one of the things that a Christian ought to be, I think they ought to be the hardest working, the best worker of anybody in the shop. I think when the boss looks out, they ought to be able to say, you know, I believe that so-and-so, he's the best worker we have, or she's the best worker that we have, and they're a Christian. Too many Christians have decided to be gold bricks at their place of employment. Everybody knows what a gold brick is, don't you? It's something that looks good, but it's absolutely worthless. Just kind of sits around. And the Christian is not supposed to be that. We're supposed to be productive. We're supposed to be the best workers that there is. And we're supposed to be faithful. Genesis chapter number 12 describes a man by the name of Abram. And I want to go through the life of Abram just briefly, and I want to show you some qualities about being a faithful father. Fellas, I want you to listen to me. Now, whether you have children or not, there are people that come into your life that you need to be show the faithfulness of God to. And so whether you're a man or a woman or a young person today, this message is for you. I believe that we ought to be faithful as God's people. Can I hear an amen? We ought to be faithful as God's people. And so let's look at the first four verses of Genesis chapter number 12, and we're going to look at some things about the life of Abraham this morning. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now look at verse 4. "So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we break the bread of life today, I pray, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts. And Lord, maybe there's some here today that's gone through a period of unfaithfulness. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them. And Lord, put a desire in their heart, Lord, to be faithful. First of all, Lord, faithful to you. And then, Lord, faithful to those they come in contact with. Lord, help our lives to be typified by the characteristic of faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to be trustworthy, and help us, Lord, to be dependable. Lord, we realize from the biblical account of Abraham that he was not a perfect person, nor was he a sinless person. But one thing that we can look at and we can determine, he was faithful in what God gave him. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful in the same way. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means to have being a faithful father and a faithful Christian. Guide and direct now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this is Faithful February, and this is the third message that I'm teaching on a series on faithfulness. Just what does it mean really to be faithful? I looked at my dictionary, and my dictionary described faithfulness as being reliable. Being reliable. In other words, it is trustworthy. Now, down through the years, I've been driving ever since I've been about 12 years old, legally since about 16, and I've had a lot of cars, a lot of trucks, motorcycles down through the years, and I remember one particular individual. I decided, you know what? I told my wife, it wasn't long after we were married, I said, you know, I really need a pickup truck. I really need a pickup truck. We've always got something to haul. I think every guy ought to have a pickup truck. Amen? Boy, that was pretty weak. I think every guy ought to have a pickup truck. Amen? A four-wheel drive, if best. One that burns all kinds of gasoline. That way, put all that junk in the air and hurry up global warming. That would be good. Amen? I like those big old diesel trucks that just billow out that dark smoke and everything. You say, are you kidding, Pastor? Actually, I do like those. I just wish they'd get better gas mileage. Amen? You know, I ended up getting this old pickup truck. I was working with a guy, and I was talking to him. I said, man, I really need a pickup truck. And he says, you know, he says, I got an old junk truck. I says, well, that's probably what I'm looking for. I says, what do you want for it? He says, $75. And I thought, wow, that's a deal. He says, no, it's not much to look at. And I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. It was a 1964 Ford half-ton pickup truck. This truck was described with a four-letter word, ugly. I mean, it was just ugly. It was an ugly truck. It was red, and it had rust all over it. It was just really an ugly truck. That's all anything I could say. But it was a real deal, $75. And so it wasn't pretty to look at. But one thing he told me, he says, "Now look, Rick." He says, "It's not a pretty truck, but it does start. And every time you put the key in the ignition, you can trust it; it'll start for you." And I thought, "Well, that's great." So I said, well, let me go see it. And so I went over to his house, and it was out in the backyard. You ever find a car out in somebody's backyard? Don't buy it, all right? And he said, now look, he says, we've got all of our trash. Go to the dump. And go. And he says, all of our trash is in the... He says, that's part of the deal. $75, go to the dump. And so I bought the truck off of him. Well, it did start every time that I wanted it to start. But it was an ugly truck. The truck was rusty. It burned oil. Almost as much oil as what it did gasoline. There was no mosquitoes in my neighborhood. Every time I started the car, there was this blue-gray smoke that come out. And for about a quarter of a mile down the road, as I was driving down the road, you could see where I had been. There was this gray smoke, this grayish-black smoke as I drove. And somebody would say, yep, there went Rick down the street, you know, I could see his trail. Burned a lot of oil. When I got the truck, he said, now I want to tell you something. It had a 3-speed on the floor. It used to have a 3-speed on the tree. They called them 3-on-a-tree. But they took that out and they put the shifter, a little Hurst shifter, on the floor. Oh, well, that's kind of neat, you know. He says, now let me warn you. He says, the guy that I got this off of, he installed it backwards. I says, what? So it should be reverse, first, second, and third. Well, it was just backwards. So reverse was over here, first was over here, third, and then fourth. I tried to teach my wife to drive it. She had to go to a baby shower one time. And she drove her and, was Jessica. Jessica was just little. And she drove it to Tiffin. And she had to park it on the side of a hill. The emergency brake didn't work. It didn't have enough compression to hold it in gear on the side of a hill. So she kept having to circle to try to find a place to park that thing. Boy, it was an ugly truck. The shifter was backwards. The seats were ripped. The gas tank leaked. But the radio worked. And the heater worked. And here's the thing. Every time you stuck the key in the ignition, it started. As ugly as it was dependable. And I drove that thing back and forth to work. I did what I had to do with it. I hauled whatever I needed to haul with it. It was functional. It was reliable. Let me just say this to you as a child of God. Your Christian life might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but it ought to be dependable. It ought to be reliable. You might have had some ups and downs in your Christian life, but when someone looks at you, they can say, you know what? I can trust them. I can count on them. They are dependable and they're reliable. Just like that old Ford pickup truck. That's what we ought to be. I want you to notice some things about Abraham and about faithful fathers. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1 through 4. Let's look at this passage and let's see what the Word of God has to say concerning the idea of faithfulness. How many of you want to be faithful today? Can I see your hand? You want to be faithful? Now listen to what the Word of God has to say. In Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and the land that I will show thee." Verse number 1, I want you to notice, faithful fathers, they hearken unto the call of God. If you are going to be a faithful father, and if you're going to be a faithful Christian, I really believe that you need to hearken unto the voice of God. You say, well, I've never heard the Word of God. Well, you're hearing it this morning. And so you need to hearken unto the Word of God. You know that old word that we use and we read in your old King James Bible, the word hearken? It means more than just listen. It means to listen and to immediately act upon. And you know the Bible uses the word listen, and the Bible uses the word hearken, and the Bible uses the word heed. But they all really mean something different. And I believe that we ought to listen and we ought to heed, but we ought to hearken. We ought to hearken to what God has to say for our lives. We listen to what God says and we act immediately upon what has been said. I think that's a mark of faithfulness. Abraham listened to the call of God. God said, Abram, I want you to get out of your country and I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I want you to go to the place that I have called you to go. Abram was in what was called the cradle of civilization. He was in Mesopotamia. It was a very rich, fertile area. And I want you to notice in these verses, verse 4, it talked about how that he departed and he took Lot with him. And in verse number 5, it talks about how that they took all the substance that they had. Faithful fathers, they hearken unto the call of God. Abram listened to the call of God. Number 2, Abram acted upon that call immediately. Look what it says in verse number 4. Verse 4, it says, after the Lord spoke to him, there wasn't any arguing. There wasn't any complaining. There wasn't any saying, but Lord, I'm 75 years old. It's going to be a difficult thing to uproot my family now and do what you want me to do. It says, so Abram departed. That's all it says. Abram acted upon the call of God. You say, how did he act? He acted, number 1, by faith. He acted by faith. I think as a faithful Christian, one of the things that we need to do is act and live by faith. I think there's a difference between faith and foolishness. Amen? But we act by faith. We read the Word of God, we accept what it says, and we act upon it. He acted by faith. Hebrews 11:8 says this, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So here he was. God called him. And immediately he departed. So he acted by faith. Look at verse number 4. How else did he act? He acted regardless of physical limitations. Why is it that so many times we think that after we retire, that we retire from the things of God? May I suggest to you, those of you that are retired, you have got life's experience. You have got a world and a wealth of knowledge behind you. Why not take some young people under your arm and mentor them and help them to grow in the Lord? Amen? You know, a great thing for retired people to do is to go on the mission field. They don't have to worry about raising support. They can go ahead and minister to people, spend their life serving God. I know of a pastor that had pastored over in Pennsylvania for almost 30 years. And at the end of 30 years, he was about 60 years old, he said, folks, I'm leaving. I'm resigning the church, and we're going to spend the last of our years on the mission field. And he moved to the middle of Africa, and that's where he is at. I just got a letter from him, and he said, pray for us. He said, we have to come back to the States for just a short time. But he said, while I was there, we had a chance to lead a lady to the Lord, and we just had a funeral over there. You know, here he is. He's winning people to the Lord over in Africa. Faithful. Look at verse 4. Abraham, how old was he? How old was Abraham, or Abram at this point in time, when God called him to leave his homeland? He was 70 in 5 years. In other words, 75 years old. Most people think at 75 years, it's time to sit back and rest and relax and let's just glide the rest of my life, you know. But that wasn't the case for Abraham. By the way, really, Abraham's life was really getting started at this point in time. And so, number two, he acted regardless of his physical limitations. We should not limit God and say, you know what, I can't serve God anymore because I'm such and such age. Oh, I don't think that's the case at all. If God calls us to do something, God will give us the strength to do it, regardless of our age. Amen? I really believe that faithful fathers are also called today. Now listen, it's not just for fathers, it's for mothers. It's for young people, Ricky. It's for men and for women, and God has called us to be faithful. How can I be faithful? Number one, we are called to salvation. If you're not saved today, you ought to get saved. God has called us to be faithful to the call of God upon our lives. Here are some verses I want you to write down. If you don't look them up, that's fine. But I do want you to write them down. In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack His promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God has called us to repentance. He has called us to salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, I know that that might hair-lip some people that believe in hyper-Calvinism and only believes that some people are elected to go to heaven and some people are elected to go to hell. I don't find that in the Scripture. I really don't. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen? Now, we need to understand that we are called to salvation. And faithful fathers are called to salvation. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, Hebrews 2:9, He tasted death for every man. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. In Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." That tells me this: God has invited all to come to Him. Every person here today has got the call on their life to come to Christ. Amen? Faithful fathers hearken to the Word of God. The word hearken doesn't mean just to listen. It means to listen and to act immediately. And so listen, today if you don't know Christ as your Savior, hearken to the invitation of God. And when the invitation is given at the end of this service, you ought to run to the aisle and say, I want to be saved today. Amen? We're called to salvation. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What else are we called to? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Take your Bible, turn there. Well, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Amen. If I forget something, God's got it wrote down. All I've got to do is just turn the pages and find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4. What has God called us to? First of all, He calls us to salvation. Second, He calls us to live a holy life. God has called us to live a separated life, a holy life, a godly life. And it says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse number 3 and 4, it says, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, in other words, his body, in sanctification and in honor. God wants you, as a child of God, to live a holy life, a pure life, a godly life. God has called us unto holiness. He said, Be holy, for I am holy. I want you to notice the third thing. We are called, fellas, you are called to teach your children. Many times we think it's just the responsibility of mothers to do the teaching. The Bible says just the opposite. Now, I think as a family, the mothers and the fathers both need to teach their children and teach them well. But the main responsibility, according to the Scripture, falls upon the man. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 4 through verse number 7. See, God has called us. He has called us to salvation. He has called us to holiness. He has called us, fellas, He has called us to be teachers of the Word. You need to teach your children and teach them well about the things of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one Lord. Verse 5, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. If you do verse 5, the way verse 5 is written, you won't have time to or energy to love anything else. Now look at verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. God told the children of Israel, Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. He said, make sure that you teach your children. That word teach, if you study that word out, it means to engrave with a sharp, pointed object. Fellas, how many of you ever carved your name into a tree? I remember doing that as a kid. Get out my pocket knife. Everybody used to carry pocket knives back in the day. Amen. And I'd pull out my pocket knife and I'd start carving on a tree and I'd put Rick across there, you know. 20 years later, I'd go by and that tree was scarred and that name was still there. If I could find that tree out in the middle of that woods, if somebody didn't cut that tree down, my name is probably still engraved on the side of that tree. We are to make a lasting impression. We are to teach them diligently. Teach them what? Teach them about the things of God. You see, faithful fathers are to hearken to the call of God. That call of God we are to act upon by faith. We are to act upon regardless of physical limitations. We are to go ahead and act upon that. And we are supposed to be called to salvation and holiness and to teach our children and teach them well. It says in Ephesians 6:4, says that, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. number two. So number one, out of Genesis 12, we find this. Faithful fathers hearken to the Word of God. They hearken to the call of God. Now turn to Genesis 18. Now some time has passed between this period. Actually about 11 years has passed between these chapters. He is on his journey. They are now in the promised land. Actually at the southern part of Israel. And Lot, his nephew, decides, I'm going to pitch my tent towards Sodom. And he gets carried away captive. And then Abraham rescues him. And then we find that Lot ends up in Sodom. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 18. Genesis 18, look at verse number 19, I'm sorry. It says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. By the way, this passage of Scripture is actually spoken by God. It was not spoken by Abraham. It was about himself. It was not spoken by somebody else about Abraham. It was actually spoken by God about Abraham. And notice what it says in the first four words. God said concerning Abraham, for I know him. Now you can say a lot of things about that old ugly pickup truck I had, but one thing I knew that pickup truck. And I knew it was going to start. You know, sometimes it's best to leave things alone. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I decided to get underneath the hood of that truck one day. And I popped the distributor cap off. And I cleaned a little bit of the deposits underneath the cap. And cleaned it all up and put it back on there. I thought, well, it'll make it run better. You know, sometimes the electrodes underneath those things, they get these little white calcium deposits on there. And so I scraped it all up, cleaned it up, put the cap back on. When I put the rotor back on, I thought, boy, that thing sure is wore. And so I took that rotor and that little piece of metal that stuck up, I just bent it just a little bit, put a little bit more pressure on that center pin. So I drove it over to Lowe's. And actually, not the Lowe's, it was a lumber yard over in Findlay by the name of Furrows, and I went over there to pick up some stuff. And I got over there, and I just about got to Findlay. All of a sudden, the truck started going. I thought, what in the world? And all of a sudden, it just died on me. You know, it'd be best if I just would have left the thing alone. It was running fine. So I called my brother up. He hooked up a rope to me and drug me clear back to Fosteria. And finally, I figured out what was wrong. There was carbon dust all over the inside of the distributor cap and shorted everything out. Sometimes it's just best to leave things alone. But you know, one thing about that truck, I knew that truck. And I knew that the only reason, I mean, it always started. It always ran until I started fiddling with it. Isn't it interesting that God said about Abraham, for I know him? You know, a great thing to know is that God knows us. It says in Psalm 103 and verse number 12, it says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are but dust. God knows our weaknesses and God knows our shortcomings and he knows the things that we struggle with. But I want you to notice, faithful fathers know God, and they are known by God. God said concerning Abraham, for I know him. Look at the rest of this verse. That he will command his children and his household after him. He said, I know Abraham. I know that Abraham will be faithful. If God wrote a letter about you, could God write down, Rick is going to be faithful? Can God write down your name in a letter and say, I know one thing about this person. They're going to be faithful down through the years. I hope that He can say that about us. God had confidence in Abraham, verse number 19. He said that He will command His children and His household after Him. He will guide them and He will teach them about the things of the Lord, verse number 19. Does God have confidence in you? I want God to have confidence in me. I want God to be able to say, you know what, I can trust Rick. I can go ahead and trust him with the things of God. I can go ahead and trust him with the church. I can trust him with a Sunday school class. I can trust him with the finances. By the way, really I'd encourage you to be back tonight. So many people are struggling with finances today. And I'm going to be talking about being faithful in finances. And a lot of people struggle because they don't understand the issue about being faithful with God's money. And I'd encourage you to be back tonight. But God had confidence in Abraham. I want you to notice the third thing. Not only was Abraham faithful to the call of God, God knew him and he was known by God. But number three, look at verse number 23 through 33 of Genesis 18. Verse 33, verse 23 through 33, and I'm not going to take time to read this, but let me just give you the gist of what it says. After Abraham and the Lord meet together in the first part of chapter number 18, God starts revealing to Abraham what he plans on doing. Sodom is a very wicked city. It's filled full of wickedness, and the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And they had a conversation back and forth. Now, the problem was, Abraham's nephew was in Sodom. And Abraham loved his nephew. And he said, Lord, he said, if I could find 45, would you destroy it for 45 righteous people? And the Lord says, well, no, if I could find 45, I probably wouldn't. He says, Lord, if you could find 40, would you destroy it for 40's sake? He says, no, he says, I probably wouldn't. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing what this says. And he says, you know, if you could find just 30 righteous, would you destroy it for 30? And then he went down to 20 and finally got down to 10. You know what he did? He interceded for the sake of others. One of the things that God has called us to do, men, listen to me. God has called us to be intercessors. God has called us to be faithful in praying for other people. I would encourage you to be faithful to God in the area of intercession. We find in verse number 28, it says there in Genesis chapter number 8, Genesis 18, it says, peradventure, shall lack five of the 50 righteous? Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he, or in other words, the Lord said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And as I said, he just kept talking to the Lord and kept talking to the Lord until there was 10. Now there was a reason why he brought him clear down to 10. Because Lot and his entire family consisted of 10 people that we know according to the Scripture. There was Lot and his wife. He had two sons. He had two married daughters and their husbands. That brings us up to 8, and he had two virgin daughters. That makes 10. If you read this here, Lot was interceding for all of his family. Family, listen, is your family important to you? When was the last time you got on your face before God and cried out their name and said, Lord, please make sure that you save these individuals before they die and go to a place called hell? When was the last time you really interceded for them and prayed for them and said, Lord, watch after them and protect them and meet their needs? Daily we need to make sure that we're on our face before God and calling out their names and crying out. Lord, watch after them and protect them. Listen, we've got a church family, and many of them are hurting, and many of them are sick, and some of them are weak. And as a child of God, what we should be doing is praying and interceding for them. Sister Ann she's not in good shape. Danny needs a lot of encouragement. And others are sick. And yet we go through life and we don't intercede and we don't call out their name before God and we don't say, Lord, these people are struggling. There are some Christian brothers and some Christian sisters that are just struggling in life. And we fail to call out their name. May I remind you that Jesus Christ, right before He went to the cross of Calvary, prayed for you and I? When He was kneeling in the garden and as the sweat drops like blood was coming off of His head, He said, I pray, Father, that Thou wouldest not take Him out of the world, but Thou wouldest keep Him from evil in John chapter number 17, verse number 5. He says in verse number 20, He says, I pray not for these alone, but also for those who would believe on My name through their word. When was the last time you called out your son's name in prayer? When was the last time you called out your daughter's name in prayer, your grandchildren's name in prayer, and said, Lord, make sure that they get into the ark of safety before the flood comes? We need to be in the business of intercession and praying. Jesus Christ prayed to God on behalf of others. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The Apostle Paul said, make sure that you intercede on my behalf. We are commanded to pray for others. And the prophet Samuel said, in 1 Samuel 12, verse 23 and 24, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I'll show you and teach you the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. Listen, we need to go ahead and be faithful. A faithful father, a faithful Christian, I think we'll go ahead and lift up their loved ones in prayer. Call out their name before God. And say, Lord, these need to be saved. Lord, these need to be strengthened. Lord, these need to be helped. Lord, watch after them and keep them safe. I want you to notice the fourth thing. Look at Genesis 22. Probably one of the greatest examples of Christ in the Old Testament is the story about Abraham and his son Isaac as they went up on Mount Moriah. And we all know the story and we've heard it and we've taught it in Sunday school and heard it taught. And in Genesis chapter number 22, God came to Abraham to test him. The Bible says to tempt Abraham. He did not tempt him to sin, He tempted him to trust. And He said in verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son. By the way, was it his only son of the flesh? No, he had another son. But this is the only son of promise. He said, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and I'll offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men and with him and Isaac his son and clave wood and for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which the Lord God which God had told him. He didn't hesitate. Let me show you some things about faithful fathers. Faithful fathers, listen, number 4, they live an exemplary life of faith. One of the greatest things, dads, that you can go ahead and pass on to your children is teach them to trust God. There are things that we have to do in life that we know that are right, and probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And we might say, you know what? I know this is what the Word of God has to say, but I don't know how I can do that. And what we need to do, if we're going to be faithful, we need to trust God by faith. And whatever God tells us to do, God's got a purpose and God's got a plan. Let's just do it. Amen? I want you to notice how God had Abraham exhibit faith to his family. Sarah probably said, Abraham, now this isn't the Bible, this is me speculating, okay? Abraham, where are you and Isaac going? He probably said, honey, don't worry, we'll be back. Now, as I said, I'm just speculating. But he did say that to the young men. He says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again unto you. So he did believe that he was going to bring Isaac back with him, even though God told him, you're going to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. So Abraham, he lived by faith. Let me give you some things about faith. You ought to jot these things down. Verse number one tells us this. Faith doesn't question God. Real biblical faith does not question God. God said, you go ahead and take Isaac, you go ahead and give him back to me as a burnt offering. And he went. Verse number two, early in the morning, he got all of his provisions together, took his livestock, took his animals, took his young men, took Isaac, took the wood, and he went. Faith does not hesitate. Look at verse 5 of this chapter. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Look at verse 8. This is what Isaac said, Dad, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And he says in verse number 8, he says, God will provide himself, verse number 8, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, so they both went of them together. And by the way, God did. And a few verses later, we find that after he lifted up the knife to go ahead and slay his son, and the angel of the Lord stopped him from doing so, that he lifted up his eyes and looked in the thicket, there was a ram that was caught by the horns. And we find about 1,800 years later, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that Lamb of God was our sacrifice. And He died for us upon the cross of Calvary. Listen, faithful fathers exhibit faith before their family. Faith doesn't question God. It doesn't hesitate. Faith trusts God regardless of the circumstances. Verse 5 and verse number 8. Look at verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. Well, I'm glad that he asked Abraham to do that, because I think I probably would have said, Lord, you're asking too much. I couldn't do that to Jeremy or John. I couldn't do that to one of my grandchildren. I couldn't do that to anybody. And for God to say, Abraham, take your son and I want you to slay him and give him back to me. Would everybody agree that Abraham had great faith? Man. He had great faith. Because he promised Abraham that through Isaac, he was going to have more children than the sand of the sea. And he counted God faithful. And he realized if God wanted me to go ahead and sacrifice my son, that he would raise him from the dead immediately after I killed him. He counted God faithful. Faith doesn't question God. It does not hesitate. Faith trusts God regardless of the circumstance. Faith follows through, verse number 10. He took his knife and was ready to slay him, and as he was coming down, the angel of the Lord stopped his hand and said, I've got a better plan. Look at verse 13. It wasn't until Abraham was willing to follow through did he see the provision of God. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In other words, in the place of his son. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. When we were ready to be sacrificed on the altar because of our sin, Jesus Christ stepped in the way. And he said, I'll die for them. I'll pay the price for them. And the judgment of God came down upon Jesus Christ instead of you and me. And he died in our place. And he took the wrath of God upon himself because we were unable to bear it. Faith sees the Lord's provision. Look at verse 17 and I'll close. In that blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Real faith will see the blessings of the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be faithful. It's a wonderful thing to be trustworthy. Abraham was not a sinless individual, nor was he perfect, but God knew that he could count on him. I think each and every one of us need to seek to be faithful. Amen? We need to seek to be faithful Christians. If you're not a Christian, you ought to get born again today by the power of God. You ought to go ahead and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, you ought to be faithful parents. Amen? Faithful parents, faithful to your children, faithful to your spouse. You ought to be faithful to the Word of God. Faithful, you ought to be a faithful young person. Remember, we start a journey of faith when we get saved. Salvation is the starting point for everyone. And so if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. And if you are saved, you ought to determine in your life today, I'm going to choose to be faithful. It's not until you choose to be faithful, verse 13 of chapter 22, will you see the blessings of God. Many people miss the blessings of God in their life because they decided to choose something else for their life instead of following through with faithfulness. Let's choose this day, by the grace of God, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. How many of you want God's blessings on your life? Can I see your hand? It requires faithfulness. Amen? Let's choose to be faithful. Faithful in all things. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Time is short. Let's get busy for God. Let's be faithful. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to do our invitation just a little bit different than what we normally do. I'm just going to have the piano and the organ play. We're not going to sing. But today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to come. And let someone from the Bible show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have an eternal home called heaven. Say, can a person know all that? Yes, they can. They can do that by trusting Christ as their Savior. And if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. And we invite you to come, even as the piano and the organ begin to play. Would you come? Today, if you're already saved, God has called us to be faithful. I invite you to come gather around the altar today and say, Lord, help me to be faithful. Faithful in all what God has given me. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. The Lord has spoken to you. We invite you to come.